Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He knows that the plan of the gospel of the church of Christ is unfolding, and he can't stop it. His time is short. And so in a fit of great wrath, he works his utmost to destroy and wreak havoc all around him.
Thank you for joining with us on Let the Bible Speak. Today, this is Pastor Ian Gallagher. And today we move to Revelation chapter 12, and we're going to be dealing with the work of Satan, that old enemy, the accuser of the saints, the one who opposes us each and every day. So I trust that you'll stay tuned with us as we bring the message of the gospel to you from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale, British Columbia. And of course, we invite you to stay tuned as we bring the message of the gospel from Revelation chapter 12. So let's open our Bibles and let us hear the Word of God.
Let's turn, please, in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, and we come to this fresh scene here in the book of Revelation. Let's hear the Lord's word, chapter 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and under her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, and for to devour her child, as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that she should feed there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away with the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord bless again this reading of his word to your heart. And the dragon fought and his angels. So you can see those mighty armies fighting one another. And then in verse 8, you'll see that he lost the war. He lost the war in heaven, and he is cast down. And it's for that reason that Satan is so filled with wrath. It's for that reason that he's so maddened. He has lost his position. The devil is defeated there. And it simply says, and prevailed not. Neither was there any more place in heaven, found any more in heaven. He's banished. He's out for good. He'll never again have a seat at the throne. He'll never again be a troublemaker in heaven. He is confined to the earth. So for all these reasons, he is a very frustrated enemy. In verse 9, you will find that all his deceptions are broken. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, and he was cast out into the earth, and his angels cast out with him. He's the deceiver, but his spell is broken. The church of Christ is going to be built. The cause for which Christ came into the world and died on the cross and rose again is going to be brought to fruition. And Satan can do nothing about it. He is frustrated. He's angry. He is maddened. And his deceptions fail. How frustrating is that? How bitter is that for the devil to swallow? And then you'll notice in verse 10 that all his opposition for salvation to sinners is lost. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them there before our God day and night. The devil is the accuser. That's his work. And when he was in heaven, he accused the saints day and night. He accused Job. Does Job serve you for naught? He accuses the people of God. But you will see here that he's now defeated. He's cast out. And who shall lay any charge to God's elect? That's what Paul asked in Romans chapter 8. It is Christ that died. And by his blood, by his death, by Calvary, Satan, his accusations are silenced. And you'll see that he's out of heaven. He has no right to court anymore. He's the failed accuser. And the blood of Jesus speaks for the saints. The devil is mad. He's lost. He's frustrated. And then you'll see in verse 12 that he knows his time is short. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because He knoweth that he hath but a short time. He knows that the plan of the gospel of the church of Christ is unfolding, and he can't stop it. His time is short. And so in a fit of great wrath, he works his utmost to destroy and wreak havoc all around him. So we would say to unsaved sinners, why would you serve the devil? Why would you fall prey to his ways? It's better to be on the Lord's side. It's better to serve Christ, because he has won the battle and he will build his church. Now, when you go on down to verse 13 onward, you will see that Satan's wrath is focused upon the church of Christ. He has won the battle against Christ himself. Sorry, lost the battle. He lost the battle in heaven. Now he's on earth and he's maddened. He won't be at rest. He can't contain his fury. And so he persecutes the woman. And you will read of that here in verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child. He hates the church. He hates everything about the living witness of the church of the Lord Jesus. The old enmity is still there. The rage and fury against the likeness and the image of Christ is still there. And if you go down to verse 17, you will see this wrath manifested again. The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. That's where we're at tonight. That's the state of the church on earth. Wherever the name of Jesus, the worship of the Lord Jesus, the honor of the Lord Jesus is upheld, Satan is filled with hostility and fuming rage against the cause of the Lord Jesus. And do not think there will ever be peace in the gospel church. Do not think that the church will ever be free from trouble. The more that we wish to lift the standard, the more that we hold forth this gospel of the Lord Jesus, the angrier, the more enraged the enemy will be against the cause of the Lord Jesus. Now, you'll notice that there are some areas that the devil attacks in particular. I want to point these out tonight. Verse 6 at the end, it says that she was cast out into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there. So the church is in a wilderness situation. The world is no friend of grace. The world is no helper to the cause of Christ. This is a wilderness experience. But the Lord feeds his church, sustains his church. If you go down again to verse 14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness. That's her escape. Into her place. Notice that. The wilderness is the place for the woman or the church where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. Now, I think you understand my concept of numbers in the book of Revelation by now. And I'd like to point out that in verse 6, the 1260 days equal the reference in verse 14, a time, and times, and half a time. What does that teach us? These numbers are symbolic. They are not literal periods of time. Where do they come from? Well, they come from Elijah. You remember, he was the man who was able to pray that God would shut up the heavens. And for 3.5 years, there was no rain. 3.5 years. And God sustained Elijah and many others during that famine. He fed Elijah at the brook with the ravens and by the water. He fed Elijah again through the widow who, with her barrel of meal, with endless supply. And this is a picture of God sustaining the church. And this is an image. The wilderness is a symbol. The period of time is not day for day, but it is borrowing language from the various parts of Scripture to show that the Lord is feeding his church. Isn't that what the Lord is doing tonight? Isn't the Lord feeding his church? But we see here in verse 14 that Satan opposes that. That's the area where the devil attacks, where you have a ministry of the Bible, where you have a Sunday school where boys and girls are learning Bible verses and their catechisms and the songs, as we heard this morning. The devil hates that feeding of the church in this world. He calls this his domain. He says he's the God of this world, and he opposes the church around this world. And we have to expect that. That's the focus of the battle that we are in, the feeding of the church. And then there is the protection of the church. She is guarded and she is kept in that very situation. Let me get my bearings here. Verse 14, and right at the end, a time and times and half a time, from the face of the serpent. He's right there. He's ready to attack. And it's like what it says in early Genesis, sin lieth at the door. He's like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. But God restrains the devil. If the devil had his way, we would not be here tonight. If the devil had his way, there would be no Christian worship in the world at all. Thankfully, God has put a hedge about his people, and he says to Satan, so far and no more. Satan can only do to the church what God permits. And you remember how many times I pointed out that it was given, it was allowed, it was given. And so the church is in the earth by God's grace, by God's sustaining miracle. And I've often said it, a church is a miracle. It's an absolute amazing phenomenon. Then in this wicked world, that there should be anybody that wants to come and worship God at all. And here we are. And we should praise God that we are being fed and we are being helped. And you'll notice in verse 16 that the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. We call that in biblical theology common grace. The devil has a thousand ways to destroy us, but the earth helps. There is a degree of safety in this world. Weather, the air we breathe, the streets we drive on and walk upon, there is a degree of safety. And if the devil had his way, you wouldn't walk the streets of this world at all. It would be like Sodom and Gomorrah, where they were ripe for God's judgment. Helped. Verse 17, the devil focuses on the holiness of the church. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Why? Why did he make war? Because that remnant of her seed keep the commandments of God. They seek to obey God and live for his glory and honor. And the devil hates the holiness, the holy, happy, godly lives of God's people. Satan is an enemy of that. And then verse 17 at the end, you'll see that he hates the testimony of Jesus. Oh, he hates our hymn book, I'm sure. He hates the reading of the scriptures, praying in Jesus' name, that we as a congregation would seek to make his name known in this community and in this country. Satan opposes that with all his wrath. He is angry against it, and he's furious because his time is short. Wherever the devil sees the likeness of Christ, the more furious he becomes. Now, this is chapter 12. You get into chapter 13, you will learn of the affinity between the dragon, the devil, and the beast, and those that take the mark of the beast. That's the worldly. In chapter 14, you will learn of the patience of the saints. In fact, that word is used in chapter 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And that is the perseverance of the saints. That is their endurance, their patience. And in the midst of this war with the devils at work, where there are many forces seeking to destroy, the church of Christ perseveres, endures, and exists right here for the glory of God. And so, be not surprised that Paul says, put on the whole armor of God, that we might stand against the wiles of the devil, and having done all to stand. That's the world we live in. This is the world where we witness and worship. This is the reality of Christian living. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may stand. Firstly, it's possible to stand, and God honors those who stand. And we are on the side of Christ. There's no neutrality here. There's no ecumenical dialogue with the devil. We pray against him, we warn against him, and we flee from his deceptions. A Christian captain of a ship once invited a Calvinist clergyman to preach on his vessel. And the preacher replied, "Oh, I could not do that, for you see, I am a Calvinist and you are an Arminian. And I might say something to hurt your feelings." The captain replied, "Sir, what we wish you to do is to come and preach against the devil." And every Christian can unite on that. We are in a war. We have no luxury to define and divide over the finer points of doctrine. We are in a battle for the name of Christ and the survival of his church. And we are on the Lord's side. We're on the Lord's side. And by entering this battle, there is no such thing as neutrality. The soul that is neutral about the devil is deceived and will be devoured. And so this is God's wake-up call. This drama that we see here, and it is a drama. It's a vision of a wonder in heaven, and another wonder of a red dragon, and of the war that is going on between them, and the war that was in heaven, and the war that is right now, the woman being persecuted in the wilderness. Let's not lose sight of what we're about. And tonight I pray that God will keep us. We are totally in his keeping power. And he is able. Because I take note, every time the devil loses, he's a loser. And that's why he's filled with wrath. He's frustrated. He can never win. We tonight are on the winning side.
Well, I hope that you can identify with this marvelous victory which the Lamb, the Lord Jesus, gets over the red dragon, the devil. Wonderful it is to be a Christian and to be assured that our Savior and our Redeemer hath gotten himself the victory. He is now seated at God's right hand, and one day he's coming again to receive his people unto himself. I trust that you're saved. I hope that you have called on the Lord to be your personal Savior. And if we can be of any help, then feel free to give us a call here, and may the Lord bless you abundantly. Stay tuned for the closing announcements.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.